BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, it's 797 days since Russia began its full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And today we're talking to the mayor of Bakhmut.
These rockets destroyed our hopes for a bright future, because 2022 and 2023 were supposed to be successful years for us, but rockets destroyed it for us.
Bakhmut was obviously a Ukrainian town in eastern Donetsk region, which was almost completely destroyed by Russian forces. And Oleksiy Reva, its mayor, is the longest-serving elected politician or official in Ukraine.
He's 70 years old.
He's been in charge of Bakhmut since 1990. And now he's in exile because...
So that's before Ukraine's independence, is it?
Yes, it became independent in 1991, yeah. So that's true. And he can't be in Bakhmut, obviously, right now, and he heads the Bakhmut government in exile in the central Ukrainian city of Dnipro.
And I do remember, Vitaly, when we first started talking about Bakhmut because of the fighting there, you were telling us how it was famous for its salt and also its sparkling wine.
Well, absolutely. Artemivske Shampanske, as it was known, was produced in Bakhmut because of its gypsum mines, derelict gypsum mines, where the temperature and the humidity are exactly the sort you need to ferment your sparkling wine.
Oh, yeah.
And also nearby there were salt mines, and both the sparkling wine and the salt were exported all over the world. Mm. So, yeah, it was a reasonably famous town as well. But if you talk to people from Bakhmut, cozy is the word they keep using, leafy, beautiful, and very comfortable to live. But that's all in the past.
This is Ukrainecast.
Ukrainecast from BBC News.
Evil cannot be trusted. Ask Prigozhin.
You are not dealing with a politician, but with a bloody monster.
Is there a need for a serious opponent? Why?
Ukraine is unbroken, unbowed, and unconquered.
It's not just about Ukraine. It's about the whole future of Europe.
I don't understand what this war is for.
Hello, this is Victoria Derbyshire in the Ukrainecast studio.
And this is Vitaly Shevchenko, also in the Ukrainecast studio.
The Battle of Bakhmut, Vitaly, what happened?
It was one of the bloodiest battles in this war, and it went on for months.
What you can see everywhere in Bakhmut, destruction. You can see apartment blocks that are completely destroyed. We're walking all over shards of glass. Pretty much every second you hear the sound of artillery fire. You can tell every minute that this is a city that is being intensely fought over. And over the past few months...
And it cost thousands or tens of thousands of lives on both sides. And by May of 2023, almost all of Bakhmut lay in ruins. It was captured by Russia, or whatever was left of it.
Mm. Was it a big deal? Was it strategically important?
It was a reasonably sized town, and I'm personally connected to it. My grandfather is from Bakhmut. Mm. That's where he met my grandmother. I've got black and white pictures of the two of them in Bakhmut. So, yeah, it was emotional.
Mm. And part of the reason of Russia's capture of it was due to the involvement of the Wagner Group.
That's correct. The late and feared Yevgeny Prigozhin, he claimed to have played a crucial role in the capture of Bakhmut for Russia. But months after his quote-unquote victory there over the ruins of Bakhmut, he was dead himself.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to talk to the mayor of Bakhmut today, Oleksiy Reva. Hello to you. Welcome to Ukrainecast, Mr. Reva.
Вітаємо вас та ласкаво просимо на Ukrainecast.
Доброго дня. Вітаю вас.
And you'll have heard Arseny, who is one of our producers, who is going to translate for us, or for me, I should say, and for some of our listeners around the world. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. Where are you living now?
At the moment, I'm in Dnipro, but I'm regularly going to Kramatorsk, Druzhkivka and Pokrovsk.
Can you do the geography for us, Vitaly?
So Bakhmut is or was in eastern Ukraine, in eastern Donetsk region. Dnipro is kind of central Ukraine. And obviously, Mr. Eva cannot be in Bakhmut because A, not much of it is left, and B, it's been captured by Russia. So that's the route many Ukrainian officials have had to take as Russian forces were advancing.
Sure.
Mr. Eva, can you describe the situation in 2022 when the fighting was happening? Were you in Bakhmut? How did the battle unfold?
In 2015, Bakhmut was hosting refugees from Debaltse. In 2022, Bakhmut was hosting refugees from Popasne. And later, we became refugees ourselves.
Can you remember what the fighting was like?
I remember everything. It was extremely difficult. We have such a beautiful town, it's so comfortable. And at 5:30 in the morning, on the 24th of February, we started preparing an evacuation and humanitarian aid for people in our city. And we were thinking of what to do with the places like school, what to do with the big businesses. People were very worried, but I think we managed to calm them down a little bit.
And then bombs started to fall on Bakhmut.
Yes, and these rockets destroyed our hopes. Our hopes for a bright future, because 2022 and 2023 were supposed to be successful years for us. Years when we developed our community and our city, but rockets destroyed it for us.
When did you realize that it's time to go, that Bakhmut would be captured?
I stayed until the very last day, until they destroyed my home. I left Bakhmut on the 24th of February 2023 to the town called Konstantinivka. We tried to evacuate as many people as we could, but it was extremely difficult to find the right words to convince them to leave their hometown, to take their kids and leave.
You see, that's something I don't understand. Their town was being destroyed, razed to the ground, and yet people were determined to stay there together with their children.
Yes, it was exactly like that. People lived in the cellars, in the basements, and we were trying to deliver them some firewood or some coals or food, and we constantly tried to convince them, but that was extremely difficult. We helped them as good as we could, sometimes even just with the kind words. And one thing that we repeated constantly is, you have to leave, you have to leave, you have to leave. But it was extremely difficult to convince them.
Obviously, some people didn't leave. How many people in Bakhmut have died, including children?
Well, the official number in 2024 is 214 people. But since we left Bakhmut, we can't really confirm how many people died after that.
Sure.
We can't comment on that.
But over 200 people died, including presumably children. How do you deal with that?
It's a big tragedy, and my heart has been torn apart, because we also don't have the exact number of people who died, because we know from the official sources that people were dying and then were buried in the gardens or in the cellars, so we will never know the exact number, but it is extremely painful.
And can I ask you, Mr. Reva, have you lost colleagues or friends?
Thank God, my family, no one died from my family, but a lot of my friends died, and local MP, who was also doing a volunteer aid until the very last moment, he died as well. Loads of local workers, medics, and administrative workers died there.
Bakhmut was one of the more comfortable places to live in Donbass, in Donetsk region. I've spoken to a lot of people from Bakhmut, and they said, on your watch, Mr. Eva, it transformed new parks appeared. The embankment was improved. There was this alley of roses. It was a nice place to live. And then when the Russians came, it was all destroyed. Do you not feel it was like your baby being slowly destroyed?
I lived 70 years, and 34 out of them I've been the head of Bakhmut, and now I'm the head of military administration of Bakhmut. And I have to say that it's extremely painful. And when people ask me, what did I lose? I'm telling them that I lost everything except of hope to rebuild my hometown. And I lost many friends, I lost many colleagues. At the end of the day, I lost a comfortable place of living. And Bakhmut locals used to say that Bakhmut is the place of happy living.
So right now, you are in charge of the Bakhmut military administration. In exile, in Dnipro, what does that involve? What do you do?
Since the start of the war, we realized that there will be loads of refugees and loads of resettlers. And we started working on opening centers of support for people from Bakhmut. As of today, there have been 18 centers like that opened all over Ukraine, where people can get medications, where people can get clothes, they can get baby food, they can get help of a lawyer. So they can just get a support.
Back in Bakhmut, as you know, it hosts the National Music Academy of Ukraine. And we got in touch with Oleksandra, and she shared this memory with us.
Bakhmut for me is a student town full of warm memories. The first years of a young person's independent life. Life with friends in the dormitory, first love, a place where I became a professional musician. Bakhmut is a city of roses, old atmospheric buildings, cozy streets. Every spring, walking around, I can't help but remember those warm Bakhmut evenings. Crawling tiredly with friends to the dormitory, where each of you is building plans for a happy future. Do we think we'll come back? How can we return to a city that no longer exists? A city of ruins and broken lives? A city abandoned by God? Bakhmut now lives only in our memories. Sometimes it seems that it was all just a dream, and this city is only the creation of your imagination.
You will have heard Oleksandra say that it's a city abandoned by God. Do you agree?
No, I don't think so. I strongly believe in our victory, and I believe that most of the Bakhmut residents will return to their houses, to their streets, to their favorite lovely Bakhmut.
And what do you say to President Putin, who's done this to the place that you love and that you have essentially served for, what, 3 decades?
Fascist. Нелюдь. Изверг.
Fascist. He's inhuman. A monster.
I've just been looking at pictures of Bakhmut after the destruction. I mentioned earlier I've got pictures of Bakhmut when my grandparents met there. Leafy, cozy. In fact, cozy is the word used a lot by people from Bakhmut. Leafy, lots of parks, kind of quiet, slightly provincial, but very nice to look at. And now there's lots of pictures of destroyed buildings riddled with shrapnel. There's a picture of a monument to a geologist. I think it's outside the Museum of Geology or Mining in Bakhmut Center. Completely gutted. Nice building, but windows gone, walls gone. And there's this geologist, yeah, standing half destroyed. A Ferris wheel, like a skeleton of a Ferris wheel, what's left of a fountain. It's post-apocalyptic. This is what we saw from Chernobyl, and now this is what happened to Bakhmut.
Well, the first photo is the geologist monument. It's right next to this mineral museum, which was opened in the 1920s. Sadly, we didn't manage to evacuate the building's collection of minerals.
So it's a statue of a geologist on a mountain in front of or at the side of what? What is that building?
It's a museum of minerals.
Right,
Donetsk,
okay. Yeah,
geologist. Geologist.
And of course, the windows are blown out. You can see damage on the walls and on the statue as well.
Колесо обозрения, как его в народе называли.
The next photo is of the Ferris wheel. It's actually in a park in Bakhmut, and this park for locals was always split into two sections, the upper part of the park and the bottom part of the park. In the bottom section, it was always nice, peaceful and quiet, while in the upper part was louder. You could hear kids laughing, young people would gather, go on the dates, and people would go on walks.
Central fountain. Він в історичному центрі міста.
And the third photo is the central fountain, which is located in the historic center of the town, where loads of Bakhmut locals like to spend their time. And that was the place where school graduates gathered for the prom. And sometimes there would be more than 3,000 people of those who were graduating from school and their parents and their relatives. It was also a place where people celebrate their weddings. And it's right in front of the local culture center, which used to be a place where people would come for dancing, meeting, where people would meet each other and get married. And it's extremely painful that this place was destroyed by Russian missiles.
And finally, how much do you estimate it will cost to rebuild Bakhmut?
Preliminary, it will be about $2
billion. $2 billion for one city. And who should pay for that?
Russia and Putin.
Я ніколи в інтерв'ю не казав.
I never spoke about it during the interview, but I have a memory from my youth. In 1998, I wrote a book called City of My Destiny, which was a story about Bakhmut. And our city has a very tough destiny. And it's tough for people who built it. It's tough for me. It's tough for its locals. It's tough for its history and culture. But I believe that the destiny of this city will include rebuilding and repopulating.
Well, we wish you all the very best, Mr. Mayor, and thank you so much, Alexei Rova, for talking to us here on Ukrainecast and talking to our listeners around the world.
І вам щиро дякую. Бережіть себе.
Interestingly, Victoria, Mr. Mayor, he kept switching to Russian, but he was very keen, obviously, to make an effort to speak Ukrainian. But the fact is, that part of Ukraine, Donbas or Donetsk region, predominantly is where Russian is or was being spoken until the full-scale invasion started.
Yeah.
Right now,
well, that's why if we go back all the way back to February 2022, that was who Putin said he was defending, Russian-speaking Ukrainians, people like Alexei Rova.
Absolutely. And right now, if a Ukrainian, particularly Ukrainian official, is seen speaking Russian in public, that's really bad form. That's why Mr. Rova was really keen to speak Ukrainian. But when he, you know, he couldn't, when it was obvious it was much easier for him to speak Russian, he switched to Russian.
We've got another Q&A for you on Friday. We're going to hear more about the situation on the front line, where things have worsened with multiple Russian attacks. That's according to Ukraine's head of the armed forces.
Please keep sending in your messages to our number, which is +44 330 123 9480. And you can use our email address, which is Ukrainecast, that's one word, at bbc.co.uk.
And wherever you are listening in the world, take care.
Goodbye.
Ukrainecast from BBC News.